Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, November 15th, 2010. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California. Our show today will inform, inspire, encourage, and entertain you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, I'd Rather Be Happy Than Right, with my guest, Lola Gillibard, motivational humorist and stand-up comic. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule today to join us. Now, if you're listening live, I encourage you to participate by asking questions. Or if you're over there in the chat room, you can just type in your questions or comments. If you're on the phone line, you will need to press #1 to let me know you have a question. Now, regardless of how you access the show, remember that it is recorded and you can always listen to it and download it later. If you enjoy the show, please don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about it. Over on my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, I encourage you to add yourself as a friend of my show. And then if you have access to Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, go ahead and tell people about my show there as well. Now, I know that many of you have your own businesses. So before we move on, I want to tell you about the business tool I use to help me discover my ideal client. The Ideal Client Action Guide helped me to realize that trying to be everything to everybody is like using a BB gun to hit a bullseye. You know, that doesn't work very well. Now, by working through the activities with the guidance of the audio recording that comes with it, I was able to take the guesswork out of my marketing, and so can you. You just need to go over to www.idealclientactionguide.com. If you are ready to grow your business, add more clients, and enjoy the increased profits you deserve, then tailoring your marketing to your ideal client is the key to your success. So do what I did. Get your copy of the guide today at www.idealclientactionguide.com. Now again, I am Flora Brown, author, coach, and inspirational speaker. For those of you who don't know me, I encourage you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, where you're going to be able to sign up for life coaching. You'll be able to sign up for my newsletter so you can get weekly encouragement. And I'm also going to encourage you to book me or recommend me for personal appearances for 2011. I'm booking those appearances right now. So if you'd like to have me appear as in person to your group, wherever you are located in the world, I can motivate, train, or inspire your group. Just go ahead to coloryourlifehappy.com. At the top of the homepage, you'll see a tab that says Book Flora. Or you may email me directly at flora@florabrown.com. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. To get at that goal, each week I interview guests from various fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change and adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, all those things that contribute to our happiness. Now, today, my episode is I'd Rather Be Happy Than Right with my guest, Lola Gillibard, motivational humorist and stand-up comic. Lola is an 80-year-old with no expiration date in sight. She received the National Speakers Association Greater Los Angeles Chapter Lifetime Achievement Award in 2006, so she was forced to start a new lifetime in order to achieve even more. She's a past president of the Greater Los Angeles Chapter of the National Speakers Association. She served on their board for 6 years. She was the only woman to place in the Funniest Person in Orange County contest, plus making the finals for Last Comic Standing. She has opened for both Bill Cosby and Dana Carvey. This summer, she appeared at the Edgewater Casino in Laughlin. It should be called Laughlin, huh? Laughlin, Nevada, for the weekend. And after the first night, she was asked if she could add 15 minutes to her act. She said yes. So the next night, she spoke very, very slowly. It is my pleasure to welcome motivational humorist and stand-up comic Lola Gelabard. Hi, Lola.
Hi, Flora. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for making time to come on the show.
It's my pleasure.
I want you to
I've enjoyed the website.
I've seen you perform live, I want you to know, and over in Orange County at the Forgotten Witch. Oh, it was the Improv.
Yeah, the Irvine Improv.
Right, and that was wonderful. Yes.
That was the funniest housewives of Orange County.
Right, right.
And I'm known as the over six housewife.
That's right. That was hilarious. I really enjoyed it. So I'm glad I got a chance to see you in person. And now that I have read through your books and learned more about you, I want to know how you moved from college professor, businesswoman, writer, mom, and of course, you're still a wife. How did you end up being a humorist and a stand-up comic through all that? What was the progression?
Well, you know, I am 80 years old, and so I taught high school and college for 500 years, it seemed like. And I learned really early that the students learn so much more if they have a good time. So I've always believed in the awesome power of humor. And so, and then having four boys, if you don't get a sense of humor by then, you're not going to get one. And besides, if you raise four boys, you can do anything after that. You can do anything. So, and all our boys were raised in a broken home. They broke everything in sight. So, and they all threatened to run away from home at one time or another. And I was always hoping that would happen, but every time I came back home, they were still there. And they've grown up to be wonderful young men. And I call them all my favorite sons. And they call me on the phone and say, "This is your favorite son." I say, "Great." And I'm really not sure which one it is. But after they say a few things, I know who it is. So it works out fine.
Well, I've already found out where you get the inspiration for your routines. You get a lot of them from your family experiences, correct?
Absolutely, because for only the truth is funny, and it's all around you. If you all you have to do is look and listen, and it's right there.
Well,
and people say to me, you know, "Do you tell jokes?" No, I don't tell jokes. In fact, I don't even tell a good joke. It's too much real good stuff just right there in front of your eyes.
That's what you pointed out in the introduction to your book I was reading. Right at the very beginning in that book, Laughter Made from Experience, you said to know how to be truly glad, one must know how to be truly sad. Could you expand on what you mean by that? Because that sounds pretty powerful to me.
Well, I think that the best humor, well, I know that all good humor is based on conflict. And if you don't have any conflict, I mean, nobody's interested in your wonderful life. Sure, they want you to be happy. But other than that, they want to know how you suffered because everybody else is suffering and they don't want to think they're by themselves. So they want to hear the conflict part. And I had a cerebral hemorrhage at birth and weighed a pound and a half, and that was before incubators. And I think my mother and father must have laughed at me when they first saw me because my dad used to tell me he could put me in his pocket. So, and I had to wear an ugly brace growing up. So I learned really, really early that people don't care how you walk or what you look like. As long as you're interested in them and you're fun, they want to be around you.
And I think you're so right about the conflict part. People want to know what your conflict is then, and how you overcame it, how you dealt with it.
Right, right. And like I said, they want to know you're happy, but then that's enough of the good stuff.
Well, it must be true because the news is full of conflict and grief, and then we get to hear you perform and find out that we can laugh at some of these things and we can get through them, and that's extremely important. Now, I
and
know you've
we
been
feel
around before. Go ahead.
And we feel better after we laugh at them.
That's right.
At least
now,
you get to forget them a little while, right?
Yep. I found out that you've been all around the world as a humorous speaker. What's one place or incident that has stood out in your mind in all of those experiences? I know you have many, but from going around the world and performing different places, has anything stood out in your mind?
Well, I worked on Crystal Cruises cruise ship for 12 years. So that was where we went around the world, and it was wonderful. And the exciting part about that is that whether people speak the language or not, laughter is a universal language. And so even when you have to have an interpreter, which does kind of mess up your timing, it still doesn't matter. People still laugh, and it's a communication that can't be gotten that quickly any other way. So that was the most, and the Australians will laugh at anything. They will. All you have to do is look at an Australian and they'll just die laughing. It's just so much fun. They think everything's funny.
Oh, that's a good audience to have.
I think they were the best audience internationally that I've ever had. They are just wonderful, wonderful people. So were there embarrassing situations? Well, there are always times when you think people are going to laugh and they don't. But when that happens, you just pretend that you were serious. And the thing is that if your humor is based on truth, it's not hard to pretend that you were serious. You can just
right.
move right on to the next thing.
That's right.
Whereas if you tell a joke, when you get to the punchline, if they don't laugh, then you're stuck.
That's true. That's
so
a terrible
I learned something
feeling.
Every audience.
Yeah, well, today we promised we'd talk about I'd rather be happy than right. So I'd like
right.
to hear you expand on what that means to you. And I know it's tied in with your secrets to a happy marriage. So I'm going to let you have the airwaves and go.
Okay, well, the thing about when husband Hank and I, we've been married for 56 years, or 57 years if you count that year we spent in the back seat of his car. And so when we decided to write this book, it just didn't work. We couldn't agree on anything. So he wrote his side and I wrote my side. And my side is Help, I'm Married, and his side is Sleeping with Your Enemy, and it's full of cartoons. And the as you and I both know, and everybody that's listening, the simple answer to the secret of a happy marriage is to marry the right person. But we can't always do that, and we don't always do that. And I have found out that the secret, the real secret to our happy marriage, is to know when not to react. Yeah, that means that when you want to say something, when you're angry, when something's not right, choose the time to talk about it. And it's probably not the time that it happens because
okay.
there are other people around.
Right, right.
And so that to me, and of course you got to love each other and like each other, and you need good communication, and you certainly need pride in your mate, always, always, always. But but that one thing, know when not to react, has worked for me so, so well. Hank doesn't always remember it, but I have learned it. When he doesn't remember it, I just leave because he's not remembering it, and you cannot talk about something that's upsetting you when you're angry. It just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So that in a nutshell is the secret to me. And you gotta laugh a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. You gotta. And,
yeah.
And we have what we call the red nose attitude. And when I put on the red nose, that means I'm really upset, but I'm not ready to talk about it yet. And drives Hank crazy because, you know, what is it? Was it this? Was it that? Was it this? And I'm not talking yet because he could have been an attorney, and so I have to line up my argument.
Right.
And that works. And then when he gets angry, he was born in Detroit, but his parents went back to Amsterdam, Holland, when he was 2 years old. So he was raised in Holland. So when he gets really, really angry, then he speaks Dutch, and it's just hilarious. So he's got the red nose on, and he's speaking Dutch. And so I have to go in the bathroom and close the door and flush because I'm laughing, and you cannot laugh at a person when they're angry.
Mm-hmm.
They just, you can't. So
yeah.
Sometimes I have to flush twice. But then I can come out, and we can talk about it. But the laughter saves the day so many, many times.
Wow. One of the incidents in your book, Laughter Made from Experience, you talk about going to a marriage retreat and and doing the exercises there. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that. I remember that, and we both had notebooks, and we had certain questions that we had to go back to the room and answer, and we wrote the answers in the notebook, and then we read them to each other. In fact, our oldest son found those notebooks because that was a few years back, and he found them the other day, and it was really interesting to go back and read what we said, and it was not that different from what we say to each other today. So the same things happen over and over again in a different light.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to, I mean, it made us get kind of teary to read what we wrote then. But it also made us laugh because we have grown.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like.
You don't grow, you sunk.
Yeah. It sounds like even before you went to the retreat that you had a happy marriage, you had already learned to communicate. What motivated you to go to the retreat?
Actually, it was my thing because I'm always learning. I'm just a born student, and I heard about it, and Hank went because I wanted to go. He didn't want to go, but he was a good sport about it, and he went through it, and when we came out, when it was all over, we came out, all these other people that had gone in the past were out in the parking lot, and it was dark, and they had candles. And Hank said, I am not going to go out and hug a bunch of people that I don't know. And I said, okay, I'll stand in front of you. You walk behind me, and I'll hug the people. And you don't have to hug anybody. So he didn't have to, so he was happy about that. You know how men are sometimes, and women too. They
yep.
don't like to hug strangers.
That's true. Yeah, there are people that are exactly like that. So are you happy that you went to that retreat, that you did benefit from it?
Yes. Yes, we did. And we took a meditation course 40 years ago in North Carolina when it was totally unheard of. And that was my idea, too. And I've always been glad that we did that because I think it's such a good relaxation exercise.
Now, do
and
you meditate together, the two of you?
I'm sorry?
Do you meditate together at the same time?
No.
Or?
A whole family took the course together.
Okay.
And not all my children do it, but two of them do, and I do. I don't think Hank does. I think he said it didn't work for him. But
okay.
Nevertheless, he went and we did it. I'm always finding something that I think would make everything better. I think that's important to always be learning.
Sure, yeah. And like you say, and I'm happy to hear you say that some of your children embraced that and some didn't, and it's okay because we each have to find our own way, correct?
It's amazing that four children could be born in the same household and be so different.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I know you know all about that, but that is just totally fascinating.
Yeah. And
they all have...
I'm glad that you accept
crazy.
They're all what?
They're all crazy. I mean, we're all silly and crazy. My 54-year-old will still jump out of the car if he's driving when the light's red and do this little dance in front of the car and come back and say, that's what made the light turn green.
Oh my goodness.
Did you believe that?
Yes, I believe it. I see guys do that every now and then. I haven't seen it in a while, though.
Oh, if you see somebody do it, it's probably one of my sons.
Oh, my goodness. Now, how do they feel about being part of your humor? You use situations from your family. Do your children, are they okay with that? Or
love it. They love it. They love the attention. And husband Hank, I never pick on him in a presentation if he's not in the room.
Okay.
Because it's not fair. If people want to see him, you know, and see that our relationship is good. If I pick on him and he's not there, it doesn't work. So he has to be in the room because they want to meet him and they want to see what he looks like and they want to see how he's taking it. He loves it, but I never do anything about him that I don't pass before him first.
Okay.
I don't surprise him.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, and he always says yes.
Oh,
and way back when I walked in one day and said, well, what would you say if I said I was going to take a stand-up comedy course? He said, I'd say I think that's great. Hmm. And he's always been like that, and that's important.
Yes, yes. So he's been supportive. That's made a big difference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's everything. And he goes with me most places I go because he likes to travel and he knows they like to see him, and we have a good time.
Yeah, I think I saw him at the improv when you were there.
Yeah, he was there.
Does he act as your agent?
I wish he could. He keeps saying he's going to, but then he says he's way too close to the situation to handle it. And he's right. I mean, he would say, what? You don't want Lola? Well, and he'd hang up.
So you need
he's my biggest fan. He's my biggest fan and my biggest critic.
Oh, okay. That's good.
And in the beginning, I would, you know, try some new material on him, and he'd say, you know, that's not funny. And I'd think, well, I'm going to show him, so I'd do it anyway. And most of the time, he was right. I had to change it before it was really funny.
You try your routines out on him. Do you try them out other places before you take them on stage? What are some?
Yeah, but
things?
I don't tell people that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
I just make it a conversation, because if I tell them what I'm doing, then that makes them nervous and it doesn't work.
Okay.
And that's why if you stick to only the truth is funny, you can do that.
Okay.
And people don't know that you're trying material.
That's true.
If they don't laugh, I don't right away. If they don't laugh, I don't right away think it's not funny. I think it needs a little work, and I'll try anything three times, and if it doesn't work after three times, then I throw it out.
Now, you said you took a course in stand-up comic?
Yes. 20 years ago when it was the rage, there was a stand-up comedy course in almost every community college.
Oh.
And I took, and they only took 8 students. And I'm telling you, Flora, the 7 of those people were crazy. They were really crazy. They were serious. They weren't funny. They weren't. And then finally a guy came in to make up a class, and he was normal, and he and I just, we fell in love because we knew the other people were crazy. They were there for a different reason. They weren't really there to learn how to be funny. I don't know. I never did figure it out. But I had a good time, and I was glad I went. And we performed at the comedy club, and that was fun. And you know, I was glad I did the whole thing. I've never been sorry I've done some of the crazy things I've done, because you always learn something, and I think you learn more from seeing something done wrong than you learn from seeing it done right.
Right, right. What are some of the things that are most important in being a good stand-up comic? You've mentioned telling the truth and going from your own experiences. What are some other things that make a difference? You mentioned timing, pacing, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and surprise, and only the truth is funny. We mentioned that, and exaggeration. But the main thing is practice. So many people, you know, go up and say, well, where are y'all from, and that sort of thing, and I don't believe in that. I think you have to plan the more you plan, well, it takes a lot of practice to get spontaneous. So
yeah.
I practice a lot, and I practice in the library looking at the wall because I'm totally focused, and then before I go on stage, no matter how prepared I feel or don't feel, the last thing I say to myself is, have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have a good time, your audience is not going to have a good time.
That's right. Well,
they don't care if you screw up. In fact, I like it. Because they say, hey, you know, here's this person up here, and she's pretty good. In fact, she's good, but she makes mistakes too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So as long as you admit that it was a mistake and start over or whatever, you know, it's fine.
Right, right.
That's a big lesson to learn.
Who are some of your favorite comics?
Well, I'll always and forever love Carol Burnett.
Oh, right. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
I just think she's so talented, but also I think she's a fine person, and Bill Cosby is the same type of guy, and Dana Carvey, I totally enjoyed him, but I like funny people that I like, besides being funny.
Right, right, right.
How do I say that? I like likable funny people.
Right. If you like the people, you're more inclined to like their humor.
Right. And if I think I would enjoy being with them, it makes me enjoy their funniness even more. Now, I think Joan Rivers is really, really talented. And have you seen her movie, A Piece of Work?
No. No, I haven't.
It's an excellent movie. It's a documentary, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very good. But her humor is not my type.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's very talented.
Mm, okay. Which I would imagine we all have certain humor that really strikes a chord with us, and we're just not going to like all of it.
No. No, and I can't stand hurting other people's feelings or making fun of other people unless I know them and know exactly how they're going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I love to do it. But there has to be a relationship there first. Even if it's an audience that you've just met, you can make a relationship with someone in that audience and know that it's okay to make fun of them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I haven't said that I really want to say is that I believe in clean comedy. And I entered that Funniest Person in Orange County contest to prove that the best comedy was number one. I mean, clean comedy was number one. Turned out clean comedy was number three. But that's okay. I still think there's nothing like clean comedy.
Now, what is your definition of clean comedy? Because don't you have a title as the sexy housewife?
Yeah, the oversexed housewife. I don't think there's anything. Because I'm 80 years old, I think it's okay to say that.
Okay.
If I were 20 years old, I don't think that would be appropriate. But okay. Because I'm 80 years old, I think it's funny. But I didn't choose that title. The leader of the group chose it, and, you know, fine with me. But when just vulgarity, just, of course, the F word, but
yes.
and body parts that don't need to be talked about. And just, it's harder to do the clean kind.
Right, yeah.
And people fall back on the other so often because it's easy.
Right. Yeah, unfortunately. I have a question from one of the people in the chat room.
Okay.
She asked, how did you get the cruise ship gig, and what motivated you to entertain in that facility for so long?
Well, when I said 12 years, that's a little bit misleading. I did 6 weeks on the ship once a year.
Okay.
So it's... I didn't mean that I lived on the ship 12 years.
Right. But
and
you must have enjoyed it. You stayed well.
Right. But the way I got onto that was that in 1 week, two people said, you know, you'd be great for Crystal Cruises cruise ship. You should call them. And I figured if that happened twice in 1 week, I was supposed to call them. So I called them. And they said, sure, send in your stuff. And so I did, and I got hired, and that's how it happened.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And, yeah, it was just a wonderful thing to happen. And husband Hank just loves to dance, but I'm the world's worst dancer. So he just loved it because he got to dance with all those women that went on the cruise just to dance. And
right.
I got to entertain, so everybody was happy. It was a wonderful
experience. Did you go to Australia as part of the cruise? Is that what
yes.
you were doing? Okay.
Yes, and then I met a man, a businessman in Australia, who brought me over to entertain Aetna Life Insurance Company all through Australia, and that was a wonderful experience. And we ended up in Perth, which in my mind was just a spot somewhere, and it's one of the most beautiful cities in the world. And so that was a fantastic experience. But I guess the cruise ship answer is listen to what people suggest to you, and if you hear it twice, do something about it.
Okay. That's wonderful. And during that time, of course, that you were entertaining, you also got to travel free and
see
the world, but at the same time, you got to enjoy doing what you love for your work. Now, I've been on cruises before. Did you have to perform more than once a day, or how did your
That depended
work?
On, you know, how many ports we were in, because, of course, we never performed when we were in a port.
Right.
Some weeks it would be four times, some weeks it would be three times, and I think the most I ever did in a week was five, and the least I ever did was two. But it all depended on where the ship was. And, of course, it was wonderful to get paid.
Right.
That part's fun, too.
Oh, yes, that's a lot of fun to get paid and to get the cruise free. Now, did you discover that once you were off stage and you and your husband were enjoying yourself around the ship that you got bombarded by people wanting your autograph or stopping you to ask questions?
Yes, and one thing that you had to be very careful of was that you were always on, whether you were in the bathroom, or no matter where you were on, and you had to be aware of that. That was one thing about a cruise ship. The second thing about a cruise ship is that some of the people go on all of the cruises that you are on, and so you cannot repeat any material, which was a big challenge. And what I did was I would leave if I always leave something out because I never use notes. So I'd rush back to the stateroom and write down what I left out so I could use it, you know, the next time. But it was also a wonderful place to write new material because it was easy to get focused.
Right.
So
right.
It had that, you know, side for me too. But mm-hmm. They were the two big things that I learned from working on the cruise ship.
Well, that's wonderful. That's been a great experience. Before I forget it, where are you appearing next? Can you tell us what your next gigs are coming up?
Well, actually, I'm at the Phoenix Club in Anaheim. Don't you live in Anaheim?
Yes, I do. I know where the Phoenix Club is.
Yeah, well, I'm at the Phoenix Club for a Women's Expo day. It's a Women's Expo day. And then the Funniest Housewives are doing a show at 5 o'clock that afternoon. And then I just got invited back to Laughlin to entertain with the young man that I worked with before. And we were just a great combination because he was so young and I was so old. And we were both funny. And, it was wonderful. We just happened to be together. But the bureau that hired us, you know, got such a good report that they asked us to be together again. So that's fun.
That's wonderful. Now, I want to ask one other question. One of the listeners has a question about the National Speakers Association. Did you achieve your goals by joining that association?
Yes, I've achieved many goals after joining the association. It's the only one that I know of, though I think Toastmasters is a wonderful organization. But the actually making it a business, you need the National Speakers Association, and they can just give you shortcuts in so many, many different ways. So if anyone's thinking about joining that organization, please tell them to look into it and just go onto the website, which is just NSA, that they won't have any trouble finding it, or Google it anyway. If they have any trouble, call me. But it's a wonderful, wonderful organization.
Speaking of which, how do people reach you? Do you want to give your phone number or your email address? One of those.
Well, I'll do both if you want
okay.
me to.
Sure.
My email address is Lola@laughandlearn.org, and spell out all the words, laughandlearn.org. And then my phone number is 949-499-1968.
Okay. Let me repeat that. The email is Lola, L-O-L-A, at laughandlearn.org with all the words spelled out. The phone number is 949-499-1968. I am so glad that you won these awards, because I want to ask you about the Funniest Person in Orange County contest. How did that contest work? How many contestants were there, and what was your routine that you felt made the difference?
There were about 100 people in there, and it started with, the early, what do you call it? It works itself up to the semifinals.
Yeah, the finalists, the tryouts, and going to the finals.
There were like 8 different sessions, and then people got eliminated each time. And what made it work were the same things that I just told you. We had 8 minutes, and if you went over the 8 minutes, you would automatically disqualify. So the timing was everything. We drew numbers for when we went on, and if you were late getting there, you were automatically number one, which nobody wanted to be. Pretty much, because we had 8 minutes every time, we pretty much did the same thing each time. Maybe tweaked it just a little bit, and then of course it got better, because that's what happens when you practice. And I chose the best 8 minutes that I thought I had, and it worked. And, of course, I was the oldest one in the contest. One thing about growing older is, you know, if you stay healthy and have a good time, it's a great big advantage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'd like for your people in the audience to know that.
So stay look healthy.
look forward to it. Just stay healthy.
Stay healthy and keep a good sense of humor.
Right. Have fun and laugh a lot.
And then you might be the last comic standing. Is that it?
That's right. That's right. Or you might even be the last comic sitting down. Oh, you're so much fun, Flora.
Thank you. I want you to tell me again when you're going to be at the Phoenix Club. Is that a regular gig or is there a certain date? Tell me again.
That's a certain date. That's it's next Sunday, which is the 21st.
Okay.
And it's a woman's expo date. It's a fundraiser for Grandma's Hope in Anaheim. That's all I know about that. That's the name of it. And it's for women who need a place to stay and need help. And the expo is from 10 to 4. And then, as I said, we're doing a show at 5 o'clock.
Okay. So the you're going to do it after the expo ends will be your portion.
Right. Well, we'll be selling some product, and it's mostly women's products. And but we'll be selling some books and things, so you know, we'll be there, but the show won't be until 5 o'clock.
Oh, that's wonderful! I'm going to look that up. One thing I forgot to ask you: do you have a website that people can go to find out where you're going to be appearing, or no?
Yes, www.laughandlearn.org.
Okay, so that's also the website. I wanted to make sure people know that. Okay,
thank
so laughandlearn.org is the website, and I suppose we can
something else, Laura. If they go to that website, on the homepage is a little circle where they can sign up for my once-a-month free humor article, which might be fun for them.
Oh, that's wonderful. And, of course, anybody listening who has an organization and wants to hire you to perform, they can contact you at the phone number and the email you've given, correct?
Right. And do you want my 800 number too?
Sure, let's do that.
Okay. 800 number is 1-800-557-LOLA, which is 5652.
Okay, 1-800-557-LOLA or 5652. Well, you know what? We're at the end of the show today. Would you believe it?
It happened way fast, Flora.
It does go fast when you're having fun. I want to thank you so much for making time to come on because I know you are a busy lady. And I want to thank my listeners for tuning in and over in the chat room for asking questions. Do you have any closing words for us?
You know what I do? I have 10 words, and they are enjoy yourself, and if you can't enjoy yourself, enjoy somebody else.
Thank you so much, Lola, and thank all of you for tuning in. I invite you to join us again next Monday, November 22nd, 2010, at the same time, 11 a.m. There will be another inspiring and exciting show. Let me remind you, too, to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, to learn about my book, about my speaking, coaching, and other activities that I'm up to. I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm going to ask you all to have a blessed week, and as I do at the end of every show, I also ask you to color your life happy.
Color your life happy.
Color.
Every day you can choose. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
Color your life.